The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Boker tov. Yeah, pretty good. Thank you. Apparently, in spite of corona, some of the world leaders are behaving as if though nothing happened. We've got a visit by the Prime Minister of Greece to Israel, which is really surprising to me, because I would have thought that in these days when international travel is pretty much banned unless you go into quarantine, all of a sudden we have, there's already the second international leader who's visiting Israel, with, of course, without having to go into quarantine.
Yes, exactly.
So I'm a little surprised. I mean, I guess either something is really, really important or people are getting cabin fever.
Yeah, well, we're seeing it here in South Africa. People are getting cabin fever, but at all at the wrong times. We're seeing a tremendous amount of community spread. While we're still on that subject, the number of cases with COVID-19 in Israel is also rising. Is this a second wave?
Well, they're very, very eager to say it's not.
Okay.
But we already yesterday had more than 250 new cases diagnosed. The Prime Minister originally, when he announced the opening up of the economy, said that the moment we get beyond 100 new cases diagnosed in any 24-hour period, that he effectively reserves the right to close things down. I don't know what people think about this, because on the one hand, 250 cases, new cases in 24 hours is a lot, and it's the most that we've had since the economy started to open up. On the other hand, I certainly hold the view that we're going to have to deal with this going forward, that this is not just something where we can say, okay, we'll close down the economy, it'll go away, we'll recover, and we'll get back to normal, usual, whatever you want to call it. I think that we're going to continue to have to respond on an ongoing basis to outbreaks here and there. And the question is how we're able to deal with that, how we're able to continue life almost as normal in spite of this going on, while controlling the outbreak so that it doesn't overload our medical system, so that it doesn't create undue risk to life and limb, particularly to people who are at high risk. At the moment, Israel has apparently about 30-odd people in hospital suffering with COVID-19, 27 people on ventilators. But the total number of people who are currently unwell is rising, and the corona cabinet is due to meet today. And it is expected that in spite of the current increase in the number of cases, they are going to authorize the opening up of events, venues, and they're also going to authorize that the trains will go back to operating again, the trains have not been carrying passengers since before the shutdown. And so it's expected that in spite of what's happening at the moment, at least if we believe the recommendations that have come forward from the Ministry of Health and the Ministry of Transport, it seems as if though there is a good likelihood that things will continue to open up in spite of this increase. And I don't know how we're planning to really put a lid on things. What's transpired is that there have been so many stupid situations, ridiculous situations, where people should have known better, where the rules were clear and they were violated. And as a result of those violations, people ran wild. There was a story about staff members at Ichilov Hospital being infected. And then it turns out that these medical staff members went to a party and didn't adhere to the rules of the party and were infected at the party. So whereas you think, well, we feel very sorry for the medical team at Ichilov because a lot of them seem to have been infected, and you think that they were infected because they were at the front line of dealing with the virus and there were unavoidable situations. It turns out that there was just pure, unexplained, unbelievable, stupid, unacceptable behavior. And so, you know, the Minister of Health has come out, Yuli Edelstein has come out and said, he can't believe how many members of Knesset are walking around the Knesset without masks on. And then he said, they are the first ones to come and request exemption from quarantine when they become exposed to somebody with a virus. So he's making a statement that even the people at the highest level of lawmaking are not adhering to the laws that they've enacted. And this is, you know, really going to be the downfall, I think, of the situation, that if people stick to the rules as they lay down. I know it's not comfortable. I know that there is inconvenience involved. But I think that there is much greater inconvenience if people don't stick to the rules. For example, you know, the Knesset decided yesterday that they were going to reenact a lot of the restrictions that had been enacted before, but it had come up for renewal that effectively expired. And so yesterday they were then reinforced, which now gives the police again the ability to enforce the rules and to ensure that people wear their masks as they're required to do, and if not, they get fined. And I think that those same rules should apply to the highest members in our society, members of Knesset, members of government, whoever it is. People need to stick to the rules. Otherwise, we're unfortunately going to have an ongoing situation much more than we really need to.
Absolutely right. Let's just go back to the issue that we started with, or the conversation that we started with about travel. The Prime Minister met, Netanyahu met with the Prime Minister of Greece in Jerusalem. What was the agenda? Do we know what was discussed in this meeting?
What's been released for publication is really two main issues on the agenda. And of course, the Prime Minister of Greece, Kyriakos Mitsotakis, has arrived with quite a big delegation of ministers from the Greek government to meet with their counterparts in Jerusalem yesterday. Two main issues on the agenda, the first of which is Turkey. Turkey is described by Prime Minister Mitsotakis as being a threat to regional peace. And this really relates to the fact that Turkey has been quite aggressive in claiming rights within the Mediterranean for the purposes of drilling gas and oil that has been found in quite great quantities, especially gas, within the Mediterranean basin. And Turkey has been very aggressive in encroaching upon particularly Cypriot claims, not only Greek claims, but also Cypriot claims. And, of course, Greece and Cyprus operating very much as a single unit where this is concerned, and Israel to a large degree as well, because Greece, Cyprus, and Israel had plans to build a gas pipeline that would link these gas fields within Greece and Cyprus and Israel to the European mainland, and Turkey is claiming ownership, claiming rights to certain of the area within the Mediterranean where this gas pipeline would pass through, and is therefore threatening not to allow the pipeline to pass through that area. And there is a current conflict over that area, which is claimed both by Greece and by Turkey. So Greece and Turkey, unsurprisingly, at loggerheads at the moment on this particular issue, as well as other historical issues which are currently sort of not specifically being discussed. But, of course, the whole separation of Cyprus still lingers in the background and doesn't go away until that issue is resolved. The second issue that was up for discussion between Prime Minister Netanyahu and Prime Minister Mitsotakis is the issue of travel between Greece and Israel, which is slated to open up on the 1st of August. Both countries very, very eager to get tourism back moving. The Israeli economy is going to lose a huge amount this summer as a result of the lack of tourism. And so obviously, and Greece in a very, very similar situation, although I did read somewhere that Greece is looking to open up to something like 30 countries. And when we say open up, we mean open up without the requirement to have a quarantine period when you go there. So this is potentially an interesting but also potentially very dangerous issue, and I'm not quite sure how it's going to work exactly and how all of the countries involved in these so-called free travel pacts are going to police what happens when there is a sudden outbreak, if things start going up. Israel, of course, is on the edge of things at the moment, because even though Israel has been regarded as a relatively clean COVID country because the number of cases has been very much controlled, but now at the moment things are on the increase again, and so I think Israel's situation is pretty much in jeopardy as a result of this increase. But certainly Greece and Israel and Cyprus are keen to enter into some sort of an arrangement that will allow tourists to travel between the various countries without the requirement for quarantine.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. IDF troops are reported to have conducted raids in the area of Ramallah following a decision by the Palestinian Authority to cut security cooperation with Israel. What is the state of this cooperation and with these agreements at the moment?
Well, under the situation where Israel and the Palestinian Authority were cooperating fully, it would be unusual for the IDF to go into what is considered to be really the heart of the Palestinian Authority area, which is the area around Ramallah. That's where the Palestinian Authority government effectively sits. There were some reports that the Israelis even went in to raid Palestinian Authority offices. That report cannot be substantiated. And in fact, there are some fairly conflicting reports about exactly what did happen when the IDF went into that area around Ramallah. From the most reliable source that I've read, it seems as though the IDF did in fact go in and raided a few particular specific locations for people that they were specifically looking for. It wasn't just a kind of infiltration in order to try your luck and see what happens. I think that there were some people that they were specifically looking for, and they went in to find them. And under different circumstances, that kind of a task would have been left to the Palestinian Authority, which means the IDF would have approached the Palestinian Authority to say, we're looking for these three characters, A, B, and C. This is where we think they are. Your security forces are in charge of that area. You go in and find them and you hand them over to us. That's happened before. There has been cooperation along those lines before. At the moment, clearly that's not happening. And so there's a very, very strong piece of evidence now that even though, I mean, in the past, the Palestinian Authority had threatened to cease security cooperation, but actually on the ground continued to do so. Now it seems as if the threats to cease the security cooperation have really come to fruition on the ground, and that the IDF is having to operate independently in those areas. That's, you know, not a good situation. It endangers our troops. It endangers the stability of the area in general, the cooperation between Israel and the Palestinian Authority. All of that really could be better than it is at the moment. So it seems that the IDF incursion, even though it did spark some clashes between some of the young people who live in those areas and Israeli soldiers, there were stones thrown, there was tear gas thrown, but ultimately it seems as though it all passed off relatively peacefully and successfully. But the overall message that this incursion has sent is somewhat worrying, I think, in terms of stability on the ground.
No question about that. An amazing story, I don't know what made me laugh, is the one that that apparently there's now a new eavesdropping device in a light bulb, and this is an Israeli invention. Tell us about this.
Well, it's not really a new device, Howard. It's just an ability, a new ability that Israeli scientists have found, that by pointing a telescope at a standard light bulb in a room somewhere, they can actually eavesdrop on the conversation that's taking place in that room.
Oh, okay? I assumed this was a listening device in a light bulb. No,
this is just any old light bulb. Go to the Feldman residence, wherever it is at the moment, point this telescope at the light bulbs that you yourself have put up in your lounge, wherever it is, and somehow they're able to get, they found that they can intercept minuscule vibrations from the light bulb that are being given off because of sound waves that hit the surface of this light bulb. They are enough to harness conversations taking place inside the room up to a distance of 25 meters away. And apparently all this is done using standard equipment that costs no more than $1,000 in total. Who would believe it?
It's incredible. Absolutely unbelievable.
This invention has even been given a new name. It's been called the Lampho. Okay? Seriously, I mean, who would even think? So they reckon that if you are within line of sight of a 12-watt LED light bulb, and they even conducted an experiment. They put three different size telescopes on a pedestrian bridge near a building. They focused on a 12-watt LED light bulb on the third floor of the building in an office. They then mounted this electro-optical sensor, which is used to convert light to electrical voltage. They connected to each telescope one at a time, and they managed to pick up on the conversation that was going on in that area.
Unbelievable. Sonati?
I think it is.
It's so hectic.
It is so hectic. Look, I mean, you know, I mean, anybody who wants to listen into
do we have to whisper now when we talk in our lounges?
Yeah, listen, anyone who wants to hear my conversations is more than welcome to do that.
There's nothing. We hear them every morning. Yeah, exactly. So we're all right for that.
And half the time, anything of interest, I repeat anyway on the show. So that's how it happens. Wow, absolutely fascinating.
So this is a new invention. I don't know where this is going, by the way, and with who would want to use it and how it's going to be used, if at all, but it is kind of just something that's out there that's pretty cool and surprising, and you know, it's nice to talk about some of these things sometimes.
Absolutely right, Anthony Reich. It is 8 o'clock. This is Where We Love and Leave You. We'll speak to you tomorrow morning, same time, same place.